You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of
today,
the Lord.
On the Word of Truth Revealed.
There is a balancing of the books, and God wants us to look at profit in your own life from one year to the next. Now, some people believe in ministry that the church is supposed to handle all poverty needs. If that was the case, we wouldn't have anything because the need is always greater than your supply. That is not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to spread the gospel, to teach, train, and to develop disciples to be followers of Jesus.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Our Response to Stewardship. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Proverbs chapter 27, verses 23 and 24.
Now, any one of us, is there anybody in here that would turn down an extra $1,000 a month on your job if you had the same responsibility? No increase in responsibility, just increase in cash. Come on, wave your hand in the air. I like an extra $1,000. Anybody in here wouldn't? Okay. Cash flow is tied to that. The problem with cash flow is what's left over after you've been increased. Does the responsibility or the flow out increase as your income increases? Or can you monitor that? I increased $1,000, but only an extra $200 go out. I got an $800 savings per month. How many of us think like that? Or do we say $1,000 in and $1,000 out as soon as it comes in? I had a man come to me and say, Bishop, God told me to bless you. I said, all right, son, how much? He said, what about 400 million? I said, well, I want to tell the church about the blessing, but wisdom say, don't talk to them about it until it gets in the bank. Well, don't worry about it, Bishop, it's coming in this Friday. That was 2007 and I'm still waiting on the blessing to come in. Why are you messing with my faith? Why would you pull me out like that? Why would you have me dreaming like that? Why would you take me through these changes like that? Pastor Sabrina said, leave that man alone, he crazy. But I was trying to believe God. Maybe it just may be true. Could you imagine me spending based on a promise? Let's bring it all in. How many of us have got news or even a reality that there's an increase coming? And the first thing in your mind is, how can I spend? Well, we didn't see a pandemic coming, and if I follow that template, I'm responsible for things. And so are you. There's some non-negotiables and priorities that I cannot run past. That's right. Things that I could never really put on myself, like paying insurance. Nobody gets paid for paying insurance. And if you do pay for insurance, it's usually for those who are going to live beyond you. Or it's there for an accident. But what if you don't have one? For young adults, I want you to get this. When you work now, you got, this is adulting. When you work now, this is adulting. You got to be able to walk on a tightrope without a safety net. If your parents are your safety net, then you're not on the tightrope. Because if you fall, whose hands are you falling in? But if you're an adult, you're saying, I got this myself. And I can walk on it without. I'm going to be careful how I step because I don't have nobody to land on. You're running a ministry, you can't think about self. We've seen that. When you're running a corporation, you can't think about your own family. We've seen that in New York. You got to think about how do you help people, not just yourself. You can't go into contracts for $50 million and when the job is done, you only pay the contractor $30 million and you pocket $20 million. Because somebody didn't get paid. But we call that great in America as long as you got a building and a name. I believe God wants us to start thinking larger than just inflow. Cash flow is what's coming in and what's going out. Second one is net worth. Well, before I go there, what is profit then? Let's look at profit. Profit is the balance that remains when all of the business operating expenses are subtracted from your revenue. All of the business bills, all of that which remains after you subtracted it from your revenue. It's what's left when the books are balanced. And there is a balancing of books even with God. Matthew 25, the master gave 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to one. And each one of them did something with the money or with the talent except the one with one. He says, I'm going to give you back what you gave me. That's not good management. The manager had already showed what you should do. He'd already had his master class on how you should steward. And so the one that had 5 talents made him 10. The one that had 2 talents made it 4. The one that had 1 talent, he the Bible says he went off and dug a hole in the dirt and hid it. Didn't put it in a bank, didn't invest it. He wasn't thinking managerial. When the master came home to balance the books, the scripture is clear. When he got to the one who went off, the scripture said he called him wicked and lazy. There is a balancing of the books, and God wants us to look at profit in your own life from 1 year to the next. Now, some people believe in ministry that the church is supposed to handle all poverty needs. If that was the case, we wouldn't have anything because the need is always greater than your supply. That is not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to spread the gospel, to teach, train, and to develop disciples to be followers of Jesus. That requires resources. We have to have facilities to manage that for Christian education, just like you would have school systems. I've had a chance to talk to the school board. Who is the person that runs the school board? Superintendent? School superintendent. And they told us that to manage the buildings of the schools, the roofs require millions and millions of dollars per year just to manage the facilities. This is not just the payment of teachers. So when you think about it, I do believe teachers need to be paid. But the superintendent has to also think about the whole scope. That is, we got to have lunches for them. We have to have buses to come. We have to have maintenance of the buildings, which are already 50 years old. And the roofs need to be fixed. You think about any house that's 50 years old, you may have to replace a roof. But a roof on a school that has 300,000 square feet is an enormous price. Then what do you do with the kids? A lot of times they patch it up, because in Brevard we don't like to raise taxes. We're Republican. In America, we're Republican. Low taxes, more money for businesses, but what about the children and the facilities? What about the poor? That's why the church has to come up. And we can't just deal with the poor, but we have to think about management. Even the facilities to handle kids. We can't have roofs that's leaking. We have to have insurance. It's an expense. I had a man come to me and say, God wants us to leave the walls of the church. It is a church without walls. And he wants us to go out and get them, the lost, saved. I said, go. But go on Saturday. He was trying to get the members to go on Sunday. I said, go on Saturday and get them saved and assemble in the house on a Sunday, because as often as you assemble yourself together, you gain strength. And while you're out there on Saturday, if it rains, I want you to stand in the rain. Don't go to a building. When it gets cold, 32 degrees out there, you stand out there too and get them saved. And follow your own template and see how long it goes. Or you take them to shelter. Good God from Zion. All of your religious talk, you don't know what you're dealing with, but when you get into a certain level and you're responsible for people, you need to be a good manager. And there needs to be more that is saved after the inflow comes than it is that's going out after the inflow comes. Got to have some profit. Glory to God. Net worth. Net worth is an estimate. It's an estimation of the absolute monetary value of you. So if I say, how much are you worth? Everybody will say, I'm worth a billion. But I'm talking about monetary value. I want you to have a good concept of what you're worth, and don't sell yourself for pennies. But what is your monetary value? Because banks don't care about what we pronounce. Shata, Rama. You go to the bank, Rate, Sobo. But they're going to say, okay, I need 3 years of financials. Thank you, Jesus. There are miracles. God does miracles so great, right? I walked on a car dealership maybe in 1987. I walked down the railroad tracks, had no vehicle, walked on the parking lot of a car dealership, and drove off with a car with no job. Won't he do it? Yeah, he'll do it. This is a true story. Now, I'd like somebody to tell me if they've ever had a miracle like that, because I believe it was a miracle. Somebody back there said he had a miracle like that. That's good. I had no job. I walked down the railroad tracks to a car dealership, a Nissan car dealership, and drove off with a vehicle, a brand new one, with no job. So things can happen, don't get me wrong. But it's not the norm. That never happened again, and I prayed for it too. It happened once. I needed it, and God provided it. I went in the car dealership, and the owner pulled me into his office, and I pleaded with him. I said, I need a job and I need a car. And he did like this with his beard. He said, hold up for a minute. He dialed on his phone and called out on Kennedy Space Center. And he said, I got a young man sitting in my office, Bill. Yeah, this is Bob. I got a young man sitting in my office, and you owe me a favor. I want you to give him an interview. Yeah, do it for me. Yeah, you owe me, man. Okay, good. So, what's your number? I gave him my number. He said, this is his number. I want you to call him and give him an interview. I'm going to give him a vehicle based on your word. I believe he's upright, upstanding, and he needs a break. Amen. That's how it happened. Hung up the phone. He said, I'm going to give you a car. And I said, wow, I was blown away. I said, man, I want a Maxima. He said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Some of y'all don't know about Maximas, right? I said, I want a Maxima. He said, hold up, wait a minute. I'll get you a Stanza. No money down, and I'm going to make sure you get into it. But you need to go to work, because in a month and a half, I'm going to give you a month and a half, the payment's going to kick in. Favor. I drove off with my car. I washed it every day. I was so happy for it. I got a job. I was able to pay it on time. But I didn't see the fine print. The interest rate. It was a blessing, but it cost me. The interest rate was phenomenal. If I paid minimum payments, I would have been paying. It's stupid. That's why I got the term the demon of minimum payments, because I went through it myself. Yes, he blessed me with a car, but I had to pay for it. I've never had to do that since I learned the lesson. Because just because it seems like it's free doesn't mean it's free. They took my money. They took my money. What is your monetary value? It's good to know. I think it will humble some of us. If you just knew what your monetary value is, not what your value is in the kingdom. Because all of us are going to say, ooh, I'm part of the kingdom. I'm a king's kid. Thank God. And I echo that. But you're living in a real world of material things. What is your monetary value? Your true net worth. Net worth. And I believe as you start seeking for your monetary value, it'll humble you. And you say, you know what? I need to increase that. So instead of doing what I want to do here to satisfy the moment, what I'm going to do is start thinking about my future. I need assets, not liabilities. You hear me say it to every member of our church. Are you an asset? Or is your net worth, do you have value not only in God, but do you bring a skill set here that you're going to add to it and not take away from it, not become a liability where we have to search you out, we got to heal you, we got to reach out to you, and you're never able to add to the whole. We're going to do what we have to do. Do you ever think about being an asset or adding to the net worth of our church? And then the third dimension is generosity. It is the value of giving, or the virtue of giving good things to somebody else or to the house of the Lord freely and abundantly. Generosity. So instead of having a tithe and limiting it to tithe, what about a generous gift? What about being radical in generosity? Think about these definitions. Are we generous? Are we generous. I believe the definition is three-part. Write it down. Number one, we need to stand out clearly. Generosity is to stand out clearly. It is giving good things, giving freely, and giving abundantly. Generosity is giving good things, giving freely, and giving abundantly. So if you're generous, you don't give molded clothes to somebody. It may not be something that you wear, but it's not molded. It should have quality. Do you measure your gift as it relates to being good? Or do you give away what you don't like or want? I was buying an iPad for one of the members one time, and buying that, I looked for the same style of iPad that I would have. Well, the person that the iPad, it was a young man that needed it. I mean, he was blown away with the quality of the iPad because we could have went cheaper. But my concept is I give you something good. I don't like to give down. I like to give lateral. In other words, I give from my level. It keeps me from looking down on people. It saves me from the human tendency to look down when you made it. You'll be surprised how many of us that sons of slaves that can't stand the way our forefathers were treated, but when we grab our brother or sister by the neck, we're worse to them than anybody was to you, because you look down at them when you have to bless them. Take it or leave it. You better smile. If I brought you in this world, I'll take you out. Sound like a slave master to me. I'm going to beat you until I bleed. Watch that spirit. Generosity keeps you inoculated from that kind of spirit. It reminds us that we're all flesh and we need God's grace to carry us through. So give good things. Then give freely. That means take away the strings. When you give, now, if you're not careful, if they disappoint you when you give, you'll remind them. And that's a natural trait, because I do it. But you got to give freely. I shouldn't have to remind you that I help financially. You should be able to say, you helped me financially. But we need to give freely. Freely receive the gospel, freely give it. Don't put tariffs on people when you share the gospel. And I want to rebuke the church world and leaders in particular that take the gospel and put prices on it. If you call this number and pay this amount, you can get a prophecy. Or if you get in this line and give $1,000, I'll give you a prophecy. Freely you receive the prophecy. Did you have to pay God $10,000 to get it? Or did he impart it to you freely? And if you receive freely, you should give freely. Let me tell you something about God. If you take care of his business, he will stir up the people to sow into your life. He won't let them rest. They have to write a check. Even the ones that don't like you, he will make them pull out their checkbook and send you some money. Glory to God. So do it, Lord. Arrest them. Let them send bishops some money. Then lastly, we need to give abundantly. That means God is not the last thing on the list. He's the first. He's a non-negotiable. He owns it all. We should have generosity as it relates to him abundantly. For he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, but I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. We need to follow his pattern and give abundantly.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message, Our Response to Stewardship, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2402-1811. That's reference number 2402-1811.
The Sacred Dance Ministry is looking for you if you are ready to inspire others to worship God and usher in the presence of God through movement. Email sacreddance@truthrevealed.org for more information. If you own a business and wish to be listed in the 2024 Business Directory in Revealed Magazine, contact Jeff Williams or email magazine@truthrevealed.org.
Brief Share will begin on Tuesday, March 5th at 6:30 p.m. and will give you valuable guidance and tips to help you move through the emotions of grief. Workbooks are available online or at the sessions. Scan the QR code in the foyer to register or visit our website or mobile app. Email Brenda and Greg Wilson at morethanlife@hotmail.com for more information.
Get ready for a new outlook on life as Bishop Clark takes you on a journey to show how the Holy Spirit comforts and guides you in truth. Join Bishop next Sunday, March 3rd, after the 8 or 11 a.m. service to purchase a signed copy of his book, The Comforter, and get ready to experience the Holy Spirit.
New members' classes are still in session. Email connect@truthrevealed.org to get started.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.